everyone. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. It is time to get started this morning. If you would find a seat and grab a hymnal, our first hymn will be number 412. Hymn number 412, 412. Onward, Christian soldiers. 412, sing it out there on the first. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, oh, one body we. What in hope and doctrine, what in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. To Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus go.
Amen. At this time, we'll open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity that we are given so freely to gather together, to worship in your name, to learn from your word. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us for the services, that everything would be done decently and in order, and that you would incline your ear to us as we lift up our voices unto you in praise and glory, laud and honor, just like the song we just sang. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our next hymn, turn if you would to 228. I love to tell the story. Hymn number 228. There on the first.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because
course, welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin like I do, raise your hand and someone, one of the men, will get you one. We have our, of course, Bible memory passage is updated there on the front, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you open it, of course, on the top left, we have our service times. Below that, our soul winning times. And hey, congrats, you guys made it to the service time after the time change, which was kind of rough for me. But we made it. We're here. I wish we would get rid of it altogether. But you know what? Here, some people are like, I like the daylight. I'm not that guy. I burn way too easy. So I'm not the daylight guy. But here we are anyway. What can you do? Of course, underneath our service times, you made it this morning, make it tonight. Soul winning times, of course, and their respective leaders. And then our church stats are underneath that. Before I get on kind of to the next page, you may have noticed this week, and it's kind of been talked about, the church had all of the chairs, all of the carpets were cleaned. So everything now is nice and clean. Look, this is day one. And tonight, there's a fellowship, okay? There's like a potluck fellowship, which, by the way, I'll get to that in a minute, but there's food provided. I just, on behalf of Pastor, and he didn't ask me to say this, but I know that he would ask this, please, just be careful. We just spent, you know, the church spent money. We should be good stewards of the things that we have. Messes are going to happen. Accidents are going to happen. Obviously, no problem. Just pick up if you can. Try to keep the things clean. Try to keep our chairs clean and our carpets clean. Some of you remember, it wasn't like atrocious, depending on who you ask. But like just depending, I mean, it's been, I don't remember that we've had it done since the plant started. I mean, years and years ago. So all that to say this, we want to keep having fun. We want everything to be clean. We want people to have a good time. Stuff is going to happen. But please, if you would, just watch yourself, watch your kids, whatever. Just try to keep it clean. Let's keep it as good as we can, right? This is God's house. Right? Let's be good stewards of God's house is really my one announcement that's not on here. Underneath our church stats, we'll move on in our bulletin. There's a visitor card. And then on the right side, there's giving if you'd like to do that electronically. Of course, a prayer list underneath that. If you move on to the back, we have our upcoming events. Of course, I already talked about the men's preaching night this evening. Pastor is traveling today, so of course, just keep him in prayer. His family's here, but pastor's out traveling, so just remember to pray for safe travel for him. But this evening, we've got everything set up. He's got everything set up for us. So we're going to have pizza delivered for the preaching night. I believe we have three people signed up. So it'll be 15-minute sermons this evening and crowd-picked songs. So don't feel like you have to bring anything. We're going to have the food catered for you. Of course, if you want to bring a dessert or something, whatever, do you. But we've got the food catered. We'll set that up after the evening service. Coming up in 2 weeks, March 28th, is our Listener's Pick Soul Winning Marathon. It's 3 weeks, math. So 3 weeks is the Listener's Pick Soul Winning Marathon. What I'm thinking is next week, next Saturday, is when we will announce the area that won, if you will, right? So we put a call out across the U.S. wherever there are people, a group of soul winners, that they don't have a church. One of the requirements is they had to be at least an hour away from a new IFB church. If they wanted soul winning, like a marathon in their area, to reach out. I know pastors had a lot of people reach out. The deadline is not yet. So if your area, if you're watching online and your area hasn't reached out or you want a soul winner in your area, reach out, send an email to the church. There's a video on our YouTube channel with more of those details there. And we will be announcing the victor of that on Saturday. So expect a video this coming Saturday, March 14th, I believe, sometime in the afternoon about where that will be. There are services planned for that Sunday as well. So if anyone here wants to travel to that, obviously you're more than welcome. I'll be going out there with my wife. Anyone online listening, if you want to travel out there, it's not just a Saturday. We'll have the Saturday soul wing in the area, and we'll have services, two services on that Sunday, probably some lunch in between or wherever we can get something set up. So I'm really excited for that. That'll be really fun. And just to reach an area that doesn't have a good new IFB church, right, in that area. So that'll be fun. That's coming up, announced this weekend, this coming weekend, and then 3 weeks from today is when that whole thing will go on, the marathon, and then the services that Sunday. After that, April 1st, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. April 4th, following that, will be our Oklahoma City Soul Winning Marathon, which happens right around that Easter weekend. On the 25th, there is a ladies' fellowship planned. I'm sure more details will be announced as that time draws nigh. May 2nd will be an OSU Stillwater Soul Winning Marathon. That'll be fun. There's been a lot of college soul winning marathons this year, and they've been really receptive from what I've seen. So it's exciting to do an OSU marathon. I'm excited to go to that. May 9th, there's going to be a Mother's Day tea event. May 20th through the 24th is the Anti-Israel Conference down at Steadfast Baptist Church in Cedar Hill, Texas. So definitely make it out there to support Pastor Shelley and the church, Steadfast. And then June 17th through 20th will be the Germany soul-winning conference over there in Frankfurt. Pastor has more details about that if you need to know more. I don't have any other announcements that I can think of. There's a spot for notes there if you want to take notes. With that being said, we'll go ahead and move on to our third song. So in your hymnals, turn, if you would, to 227, Saved by the Blood. Hymn number 227, 227. Saved by the Blood. We'll sing there starting right on the first.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, thou ransomed from sin and a new world begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the
chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4.
Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you work worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto all things, in him, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray.
We're thankful for the house of God today. Thankful to gather together. Thank you, Lord, that you fill Brother Cameron with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to set aside any distractions, cares, and to focus on the preaching of your word and apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. I just want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach. We're there in Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to start just kind of right at the beginning of this chapter. It's a great chapter on this topic, which is unity. And let's read there starting in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring," notice that, "endeavoring," in verse 3, "to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I love that beginning part of Ephesians 4 because it's really just hammering home this idea that Christians, we as saved Christians, we should have a lot of unity. And that is not something that really you can get. You cannot get the same level of unity that a saved person can have with another saved person. You can't get that with people in the world. And this kind of goes into that. It's just saying, hey, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know, despite our differences that we may have, each our personal little quirks or whatever, we're all saved by the same Lord. Amen? We've all been baptized into the same salvation. Amen? Like, in the sense that, like, we've believed, therefore we've been baptized. There's one Father. Like, we don't have a different Jesus here that, like, well, you have a little bit of a different Jesus than I do, but, you know, we can come together and agree on something. Look, that's like a non-denom. That's like the ecumenicalism of the world. The Bible's teaching, though, here in Ephesians chapter 4 is that we have true unity. But despite that, despite that our unifying feature is God, Almighty, one Father, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, it tells us in verse 3, notice the first word, endeavoring. It says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what? Despite the fact that we're all saved, despite the fact that we all believe the same gospel, despite the fact that we're all here at Anchor Baptist Church, despite the fact that we're all new IFB, we have to endeavor to keep the unity sometimes. Now, why is that true? Because it is not automatic. And people want to find little discrepancies and little differences, and they kind of want to feel special, and they want, it's just human nature to try to, like, separate yourself from other people because you kind of think it makes you feel good sometimes, right? It's like, well, I'm not like that guy. Well, I mean, I might be saved. I might go to the same church, but I'm not like that guy, right? So there's this thought that creeps in, even to Christians, right, of disunity, of kind of breaking up fellowship. Now, look, the Bible talks many times about good reasons to break fellowship. I mean, look, primary doctrines like the gospel, hey, there is no fellowship, but then that flies in the face, if it were, like, not true, that would fly in the face of this verse, right? Because this says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hello, I don't have the same Lord as the Church of Christ. I don't have the same Lord as the Catholic Church. They're serving their little g gods. They don't have the right gospel. They don't have the right salvation. We do, right? So there are good reasons to break fellowship, right? How about Bible versions? Look, I don't want to have fellowship with a church that's using the NIV. I don't want to have fellowship with a church that's using the ESV. Why? Because there's one Lord, and God, Jesus Christ, is the Word, and His Word is pure. I'm not going to play around with mixing and meddling with another Bible version. Now, those are good reasons to break fellowship, right? Like, hey, there are some reasons we should mark and avoid some people. Romans chapter 16 talks about that, which Pastor just went through in the midweek. There are reasons to mark and break fellowship, but here's the reality. Here's the other side of the coin. There are bad reasons to break fellowship. And that's my sermon this morning is this, bad reasons to break fellowship. Pastor just preached in Romans 16 about good reasons to break fellowship. How about this? Stacy Shiflett, that unsafe false prophet that the old IFB loves, he's a false prophet. He preaches work salvation. We should have nothing to do with him. Oh, but he's real traditional. You just don't understand. He's traditional values. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father overall. Stacy Shiflett doesn't have the Son, and he doesn't have the Father. I don't have this unity with him. That's a good reason to break fellowship. But you know what? It's so funny. There are saved Christians. They'll accept Stacy Shiflett, won't they? But then who are they going to separate from? Pastor Oz. Who are they going to separate from? Pastor Anderson, the new IFB, right? They're going to separate from who they really do have unity with inside. Why? Because people fall into these bad reasons to break fellowship. And I have a few reasons I want to share with you this morning on why. Why do people, what are some of these bad reasons that people break fellowship? Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter number 14. You can lose your place in Ephesians 4. Turn to Romans chapter number 14. And look, the reason I'm bringing this up, let me just contextualize is what I mean to say this really quickly. I'm not talking about the world breaking fellowship with us, and I'm not talking about us having no fellowship with the world. That makes sense. Right? Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Period. What I'm talking about are saved people breaking fellowship with other saved people over stupid reasons, over bad reasons, over wicked, I submit to you, reasons. Here's one bad reason to break fellowship over secondary doctrines. And boy, do we just see this. If you don't think this is real, go look at the comments on Pastor's sermon about the rapture, the timing of the rapture. Boy, are there saved people out there that will break fellowship with you at the drop of a hat? Why? Because we have the wrong gospel? No. Because you're not using the King James? No. Because you're preaching like muddy work? No. Because you have a different secondary doctrine than them. And look, they're wrong anyway. The rapture happens after the tribulation. I mean, Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation. Hello, 1 Thessalonians 4. I mean, like, look, I'm not here to re-preach that sermon. I'm just saying, even if it were, let's just say it was ambiguous. Let's just say there wasn't a verse that said, after the tribulation. Okay, let's say that verse didn't exist and they had more ground to stand on. It would still be wrong to separate over a secondary doctrine like that. It's silly. It's dumb. You're prideful. You're carnal is what you are, listener online. You boomers that you want to separate from people because, oh, the pre-trib rapture. Look, you're carnal. That is the reality. Romans chapter 14, verse number 1. Remember this first point. Why? Why? What is a bad reason to break fellowship? Well, number one, secondary doctrines. Romans 14, verse 1 says this, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. You know what that means? I'm going to receive the pre-tribber, but it's not going to make me doubt the post-trib rapture. Like, hey, I'll fellowship with you, but you're wrong. Like, and that's okay. We're all wrong on something. I guarantee if we all could just like download our understanding of the Bible and all the doctrines of the Bible and laid them out next to each other, none of us would agree 100%. There are going to be weird secondary areas where we just disagree. We have a different view. That's okay. We don't have to break fellowship over that, right? We're understanding this. Romans 14, verse 1, we just read verse 2. It says, why? For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. It's like, hey, another who is wrong believes the pre-trib rapture. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Look at verse number 5. It even goes on. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. Do you see what Romans 14 is bringing up? It's kind of like Ephesians 4. Is it one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father overall? Romans 14 is like, hey, if they're celebrating this holiday, which that's another example that I'm going to get into, let them celebrate it unto the Lord. And if they're not doing it, well, then let them not do it unto the Lord. Hey, we're all still saved by the same God. What does it matter? Who are you that judges another man's servant? We'll pick up there the latter half of verse 6. Eateth to the Lord, right? Then it says, for he giveth God thanks, talking about the one that eats to the Lord. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. I like how this just repeated. It's like, are you alive? You're living for God. Are you dead? We'll die for God. Hey, whether you're alive or dead, it's for God. Look, it's still the same concept as Ephesians 4 is telling us. It's one God, one faith, one baptism. Now, this is a vitriol. The pre-trib rapture is one I kind of want to park it on of a reason for separation. And I'm not going to explain the truth of that doctrine. If you want that, go back and look at Pastor's sermon from last weekend and read the comments and read the Facebook comments. I think it's like hundreds. It's like 400 or 500 comments on the Facebook post alone. And boy, it's a bunch of mad boomers is what it is. And I'm just telling you what it actually is. That's just the reality. I'm not trying to be some type of way. That is who it is. But, you know, the great thing is boomers don't have to worry about the rapture because they're going to die anyway. Like, y'all aren't going to make it. Sorry. But it's just like, and I don't even think that we're close to that time anyway. It's just a silly thing that it's like really old, crusty people that are like so adamant that they're about to be raptured. I'm like, bro, it hadn't happened yet. I mean, like, and it's not coming like a thief in the night. It comes like that to people that aren't saved, that don't know the Bible. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches, 1 Thessalonians 4, 5. But the pre-trib rapture is a doctrine that people will get very vitriolic about. they will separate from you. Matter of fact, yesterday, I'm out soul winning with Brother Dan. And we're in Tulsa for our Tulsa Marathon. We're going around, and we knock this guy's door. He opens, comes out. I ask him the questions. Solid answers. Guy is saved. Kind of an older guy. Saved. Super nice. Very polite. So, it's, you know, we've had not a lot of people open or a lot of Hispanic people open the door, so I can actually talk to this guy. So I sit there for a second, and I just kind of like talk with him. I'm like, hey, man, thanks. Pray for us because we've been knocking. We actually already got two people saved, and he was excited to hear that. He was like, really? That's awesome. You guys are doing God's work. That's so cool. He was encouraging. He's talking about stories that have happened and how God's like protected him, and I believe him. The guy's saved. And then he's talking about these things that God has protected him from. And Dan and I, of course, at this point, we're like, hey, I really appreciate it talking to you. We're going to get out of here and talk to some of your neighbors. It's great to meet you. And before we leave, the guy's like, hold on. You believe in the rapture, right? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely believe in the rapture. The Bible teaches it. It's a doctrine. And he goes, well, hold on. The pre-trib rapture. And I just knew. It was like Dan and I had like that mental connection where I just knew this was not going to go well. And I just very nicely, I was like, well, hey, personally, I don't believe it's pre-trib because Matthew 24 says after the tribulation. And I said, I can show you that verse if you want to see. I just personally believe it's after. And then I immediately caveat, because this is what people say. They don't understand that words are different. They're like, oh, you believe it's after the tribulation, so we're going through God's wrath? It's like, no, that's not what I said. That's not what anyone said. It's like, no, who said that? So immediately after I say that, immediately after, we're about to go, I went through the tribulation with this guy. Immediately after I said it's after the tribulation, I'm like, but that's not the wrath. I'm not saying we're going through God's wrath. And the guy was like, I don't believe that. That's not what the Bible says. Just switched. It went downhill quick. And I'm still trying to be like, hey, that's okay. It's a secondary doctrine. I personally don't believe that. I don't think that the Bible clearly teaches that. I think it clearly says it's after the tribulation. I just want to be like, you're old anyway. Like, I don't think you're really at risk of this. But like, all right, bro. But he gets mad. Then it just like, he cannot contain himself. We're trying to leave. Before this, remember, I said, we're like, hey, nice talking to you. We're leaving. The guy like will not let us leave. He's like, no, what are you? Are you Masons? And then he's just like, he gets so close. I wish I could like, he's like this close to my face, flipping me off. And Dan, he's like, oh, are you Masons? Because this is what I think about Masons. And I'm like, no, we're not Masons. Those are false prophets. They're going to go to hell. Like, I don't believe that. He's like, oh, are you all these like Catholics? I'm like, no, we're not Catholic. I'm trying to tell him, hey, one faith. I came to you with the gospel. We have the right gospel. You have the right gospel. We're saved. I'm thinking, like in my head, I'm like, Ephesians 4. I'm like, what the, why did this guy go so crazy after he was just like encouraging us? He's happy that we're getting people saved. Switched on a dime. Why? It wasn't because of this. It wasn't because I had an ESV. It wasn't because I preached the wrong gospel. It was because he brought up the rapture, which I said yes, because I believe in the rapture. And then he goes, no, pre-trib rapture. The guy is just trying to find a reason to separate from people. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why we have to endeavor to keep unity, because the human nature, this is a saved guy, fully believe this guy is saved. His nature was just to try to find something to be different. Try to find something to separate on. And it's like, bro, why? This is weird. Like, why do you care so much? Because look, at the end of the day, I speak as a fool. If anyone has whereof to separate from that retard, it's me, because I'm right. Because the Bible teaches what I believe. But I didn't say that to him. I did later on tell him that he was wrong, because that's what a loving brother will do, is like, hey, man, you're not right. And look, it just kept proceeding from there. He's flipping us off, calling us Masons. Then he comes out, he like shuts his door. And I actually got worried, because the guy's like pacing around his porch while we're trying to leave. But there's only one exit to his porch. It's like walled in. So I'm looking at Dan, and of course we're both strapped. So we're just kind of like looking at each other like, this can only go one way for this guy if he's crazy. Like, dude, please. Like, you're not going to make it one way or the other at this point. Like, let us go. But then he's like, he backs up, he points at Dan, because I don't even think Dan said anything. He just points at Dan, he's like, I don't give a teetotaling what you think. Like, he kind of stumbled over his words, and Dan's like, what, and starts laughing. Then the guy's like, what are you laughing about? So then, of course, Dan and I, because you've pushed it, we're like, we're laughing at you because what you believe is not biblical. And look, that's a loving thing to say, but why was this guy trying to separate so hard? Again, a secondary doctrine. It's crazy. Now get this. All of what I'm telling you is like in order of how it happened. He then starts, he literally threatens Brother Dan's children. I am not kidding. Because Dan, he'd asked if you're, this is how he even knew he had children earlier. He's like, well, do you have kids? I'm like, no. He's like, well, no father would ever let any child of theirs go through the tribulation. And I'm just like, it was literally God the Father's will that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And Christ prayed and asked if there was any other way to let the cup pass from him. And Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But trust me, bro, no father would ever let his kid go through tribulation. It's like, are you serious? Revelation says that the saints, the martyred saints at the altar, are these which came out of great tribulation. Look, you would have to just not know the Bible or not care. And we're trying to show him this verse, but he doesn't care. He doesn't want to see it. I'll never change. I won't. And then it just explodes. So he asked if I had kids. Dan's like, well, I do. And he makes that comment, and Dan's just like, okay, like, all right, bro, sure, whatever. You kind of do want your kids to build character. You might let them go through something a little bit hard sometimes, right? I mean, like, hello, does God not let us go through things to refine us? Your tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience and hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I mean, like, hello, have you read the Bible? And the answer is probably no, because what do they want to do? They get saved. We have the same God, we have the same Father, we have the same salvation, we have the same Bible. He's excited people are getting saved, but he wants to divide over some stupid secondary doctrine, and he's wrong anyway. I'm right. Then he goes on, and look, it's like you'd think, it's like, how do people really freak out about this? I'm telling you this story so that you know that this happens in the real world, not just online, not just, oh, they made an online comment about me. No, no, this guy's in our face, flipping us off this far from me, and then he just goes, F you, just cussing us out. Take your black sweater, beep, and because Dan was wearing a black sweater, and he points at me, and take your beep, and you get off my property. I'm like, bro, we've been trying to leave. Like, that was the plan. I would like to go. And then as we go, he's like shutting the door, and then we're like talking to other people, and he like opens the door, and he's like, ah, you're yelling, whatever, and I'm just like, because at this point, I'm like, bye, go in your house. And then I like see him from the, it's like from a movie, because he's like in the window, and then you see the blinds just go like, because they're like the sideways blinds, and they go, and he's like, and we're like in the parking lot. I'm like, what is your problem? The pre-trib rapture is your problem. Folks, this was a random person that I've never met in my life that did not know Anchor Baptist Church. He's not mad at the new IFB. He's not mad at Pastor Oz because he was in the Oklahoma newspaper. He's not mad at me because I said something cross to him. The only cross thing I said was true at the very end. During one of the door slam and open moments, because a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways, when he opened the door, I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, when you and I are both in heaven and God makes you apologize to me in front of him because you were wrong, that's going to be a great day. And he gave me another F you at that point, too. But it's just like, dude, you're silly. It's weird. Why are you doing this? Because we're all a little bit carnal. And while we might not be that guy, right? We might not be that guy to go that crazy on a doctrine like that at the door. There is some part of the human nature that does kind of want to divide over little bitty petty differences. We've all done it. We've all felt that. And so we need to make sure that we don't turn into that guy. Because look, again, and I know I've hammered this multiple times, the guy was saved. There is no guarantee that that isn't me in 30, 40, 50 years. If I get out of church, if I backslide, if I start having itching ears and wanting to hear other things other than right doctrine, if I get out of a network of people that love me and correct me when I'm wrong and vice versa, that can become any of us because no one is born believing so vehemently those doctrines. They get there slowly over time. And again, it's not like it was an atheist. I'd get that. It's not like it's some apartment Karen running us off. Oh, he also called the cops on us. I forgot. That was one of the things. He like opens the door at the end. He's like calling the cops. So a saved person goes from encouraging you, happy that you're there, you're getting people saved, I'll pray for you, to I'm calling the cops on you because you believe the rapture is after the tribulation. I'm like, he literally, whether he realized or not, was willing to call the authorities to stop the work of God because we did not agree on a secondary doctrine. Let me tell you what, folks, that is a bad reason to break fellowship. That's a bad reason to break fellowship. Romans 14 goes on, there are people that get this vitriolic also about what? Holidays, Christmas, Easter, I don't know how many times, and if you've been soul winning, especially around Easter, you've heard this. Oh, you celebrate Easter. You know that comes from Ishtar, and you're pagan, and you're worshiping a pagan god. I'm like, that's funny because, like, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if that's pagan to you, like, that is your problem. I regard the day unto the Lord. If your conscience smites you, don't do it. But you have saved people. Oh, well, that's you know, Ishtar. Saved people about the flat earth. Now, look, I don't want anything to do with people that are flat earthers because usually they're really crazy. They're like this guy that I ran into yesterday. But I've literally heard people say, like, oh, if you believe that space is real or whatever, you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Bible because you think space is real. You don't believe the Bible because you think it's a globe. Look, these people are taking weird secondary doctrines, again, that they're wrong on. Hello, you're wrong on that doctrine anyway, and then you're trying to take it and separate. Why? You're carnal. How about this? This was a big one for me growing up, and I was not saved growing up. I was in the Church of Christ. It was the Lord's Supper. But I remember growing up, they would do the Lord's Supper every service. You would take it every Sunday morning, but if you missed, you needed to take it sometime during that week if you missed. And it was kind of a whole to-do. Like, if you missed it on Sunday and took it Sunday night, it was like people were looking at you, why weren't you here Sunday morning to take it? And then if you took it Wednesday night, I mean, it was actually like people were like looking at you, like, I wonder why you weren't here to take it on Sunday. And I remember growing up in that. My wife can probably attest to this, that she remembers, because she came, I was like 18, like, we started dating when I was 15, but she remembers because I was still going there before I was 18. So there were like 3 years of times where she would go with me. It was weird. But you grow up in that, you don't really think about it. You don't realize it. But here's the thing. When does the Bible say that we have to do the Lord's Supper? It says when they come together, when they came together on the first of the week. Some people will say, hey, let's do it every week. Some, like we, do it like once a year, twice a year, something. It just depends on really whatever people want to do. It's a secondary doctrine. But the Church of Christ, they have a lot of other problems too. They don't have one faith. They don't have one baptism. So it's a little bit non-analogous here. But they would even go so far as to say, like, well, if you're not taking it the right way, you're just not saved. And look, there are people in Baptist churches that have very, very strong opinions on the Lord's Supper. And they're like, hey, if you're not taking it the way that I take it or that we take it, you're not right with God. It's like, okay, can you show me that in the Bible? And you know what? It's just like the guy that Dan and I ran into yesterday. I'm sitting there in Matthew 24, and Dan's in 1 Thessalonians 4, and both of us are just like, please show me. I will change my mind. If you show me in the Bible where I am wrong, I will change my mind right now. I have no problems doing that, but you can't do it. But then you want to separate on the doctrine. It's a bad reason to separate when you have bad doctrine, when it's wrong doctrine, when it's a secondary doctrine. Again, even if you were right, it's not a right reason to separate. And we can take that on the other side. Hey, even though we are right on the timing of the rapture, that is not a reason to separate from those that are wrong. But you know what? I feel like David, it's like, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Because like, I say this, I bring it up, he brings it up and asks my opinion. I'm for peace. He asked me to speak, I speak, and bros for war. Like instantly, why? They want to separate over bad secondary doctrines. Whether you're right or wrong, secondary doctrine is not something to separate over. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. What's another reason, another bad reason that people separate or break fellowship? Bad reason to break fellowship are carnal differences. Now, I want to draw the line here of nuance because there are secondary doctrines, which, look, any doctrine that's false, if there's two interpretations of a doctrine, here's the reality. One person's right and one person's wrong at best, or you're both wrong. But when it comes to carnal differences, these are things that the Bible, what I'm talking about when I say carnal differences, things that the Bible doesn't specify clearly. Look, it specifies clearly what we should do about holidays. It's like, it doesn't matter. It specifies clearly what we should do about things like, or what we should believe on the timing of the rapture. It's after the tribulation. Those are doctrines, things that are taught by the Bible that are secondary, that if someone is not there, they're not learned, we should have some grace, forbear them, and endeavor to keep that unity. But carnal differences are things where the Bible is silent on, where we have that, as you've heard before, we have liberty, right? We have a believer's liberty. We have soul, individual soul liberty, I've heard of it referred to as. Which is true that there are areas where I can have a different standard than Brother John or Brother Theodore or anybody. And my standard's right for me and his standard is right for him and his family. And that's fine. And we're not contradicting a doctrine in the Bible, but then to separate over those, that's a bad reason to break fellowship. I'll give you some examples. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're there in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal," excuse me, "even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one..." Now, what are they doing? Why is Paul like, bro? And notice, Paul's showing up and he's like, "I literally can't even talk to you about spiritual things. I genuinely can't have a spiritual conversation with you because you're so carnal." Okay, what is it that's making them carnal? Verse 4, "For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Hey, you know what that makes me think of? Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all. These are a bunch of people. What are they arguing about? What's a carnal difference that people separate? Who got them saved? Now look, you know who got me saved? Pastor Steven Anderson. And I'm sure there are many people in the audience that that's true. But you know what? It's not everybody. Some people grew up in a church where they got saved young. And they got saved through their local church. I was reached by Pastor Anderson's online ministry. But you know what I'm not doing? And what I personally have never seen anyone saved by Pastor Anderson or in the new IFB do is go around and be like, checking, like I have a list of like, all right, now who is your minister on my approved list? Pastor Anderson, huh? You're good, you know, and like marking off and then like, oh, you got saved by so-and-so. Are you really saved? You know, now look, if it's a false prophet, yeah, you could be like, hey, let's double check some things here. But these people going around arguing like in 1 Corinthians 3, well, I'm saved by Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos, right? And it too, it could even be saying, I tend to think that they're saying like who got them saved. I think there's a valid view of this passage as well, where it's just saying like who, what man of God they're following. But look, that's a carnal difference too. It's like, well, I like Pastor Anderson's sermon on this topic. Well, I like Pastor Shelley's sermon on this topic. It's like, well, great. They're both great men of God and they're saved. And you know what? We're going to have little differences and that's fine. Yeah. And like the one that you like and don't like the one that you don't like as far as however they've preached it. And I have things that are like that, where I hear one pastor preach a sermon one way and another preach the same a different way. And I'll say, hey, my interpretation lines up a little bit more over here. But it's secondary doctrine. It's a carnal difference, right? And that's why I would say like that's really like going into the doctrine side, like the first point. Carnal differences, though. Who got you saved? Doesn't matter. Are you saved? Great. Did you notice in our gospel presentation, if you go soul winning, there's nowhere in there where it's like, and who got you saved? What do you have to do to go to heaven? Okay, who told you that? It's like, did you notice that we don't care? That it doesn't matter? But let me tell you who does matter that I've seen online, and I didn't grow up in the old IFB, but let me tell you who cares, the old IFB. And I'm not saying all of them. I am not painting with a broad brush and saying that that's always true. But I'm just saying that I have seen and I have heard testimony of people who were in old IFB churches that they got, it was just found out that they listened to Pastor Anderson and they were like called into the office. I mean, like, Brother John, you have said yourself that that's happened to you. Look, I'm not saying that I've had this experience. I'm saying we have people in our church, and it's more than him. I'm pretty sure I've had multiple people in here say that or bring that up, or they, you know, people find out, oh, you listen to Pastor Anderson? I mean, I've heard stories. Again, I didn't experience this personally, but I have heard stories that Joe Jones, Shield of Faith, well, it's not Shield of Faith anymore. It's like Heritage of Grace Ecumenical Council or something. I don't even know what is going on up there. Would get upset people coming to visit his church when like Pastor Anderson would preach there because he's like, oh, I don't want you to show up or something like that because you're not showing up when it's me, so you don't need to show up when we have a guest that's Pastor Anderson. It's like, wow, you're carnal. You're wanting to separate over a carnal difference. And I'm going to bring up that example later because I really think that stems into my third point. But look, I'm just saying this is a carnal difference. This is a carnal reason to break fellowship. Who got you saved? Oh, you listen to the new IFB? Come to my office. I don't give a rip. Could you imagine if that happened on the other side, how people would freak out online? If like Pastor Oz found out that like, let's say I listen to like a good pastor up here. And I don't know any of the old IFB, so forgive me. I'm not going to remember any of their names. But like, let's say I was listening to like Southwest Baptist Church's preaching. Could you imagine if like Pastor Ross found out, it's like, I heard you've been listening to Southwest. I need you to come to my office. First of all, I'd be like, where's your office? I'm just like, what do you mean? But it's just like, Who cares? But people would freak out. If the new IFB did that, oh, man, the accusations of a cult would just, like, explode. Not that they don't already. But you know what's crazy? No one cares. Matter of fact, let me let you in on a secret. Friday night, my wife and I and Brother John and Pastor and his family, you know where we were? Southwest Baptist Church, supporting their missions conference. So it's like, one side is like, oh, you're listening to these people. And I'm not saying anyone at Southwest is doing that. I'm just saying the gist, the general sentiment, okay? Like, we're going there to support them, knowing that, like, they probably don't want anything to do with us. But they were very nice. They were really nice, actually. It was a good service, asterisk, because, like, one of the guys at one point was just like, well, if you really believe it, you'll be living it, because faith without works. And at that point, I was just like, I'm going to head out. I stayed, but I was just like, all right, everybody else was cool. Maybe not the woman preacher that got up for a little bit to give her testimony, but, like, everything else was all right. But it's like, look, there are a lot of things that we could endeavor to keep the unity on. There's a lot of things with Southwest that I wouldn't agree with. But you know what? It's a carnal difference. Here's another one. Carnal difference, just kind of talking about Southwest, is me showing up with a beard. Now, nobody said anything, but boy, I guarantee you, and Brother John, I keep using him because he is the example that used to have a big beard, and then the old IFB got to him, folks. So it creeps into every one of us. But he's told stories, and we were talking about this recently, how he would have his beard. He would go to this old IFB church. He's like trying to be a faithful member, just serve. And he would say, like, what would you say, like, every week? You know, at least once a week, people are nudging you, like, hey, when are you going to shave that beard? Hey, brother, when are you going to get rid of that thing on your face? It's just like, are we really going to start, like, making these big pushes on people because, oh, you got a beard or something? It's just like, look, it's a carnal difference. And some of them, I know for a fact, there are some old IFB churches that will not let you preach in, like, a men's preaching night or setting if you have a beard. I know that that's true. I'm getting nods all across the room that people who have experience with the old IFB are like that. That's carnal. The Bible prophesies that they're going to pluck Jesus' beard out of his face. I'm just like, really, guys? This is a carnal effort. It's a bad reason to break fellowship. It's not right. You know, there was a guy, also it makes me think of this, going back to kind of who got you saved when we had our Bahamas mission trip. Brother Ben and I were knocking some doors. We knocked a door of this native who opens the door, solidly saved, and we're like, man, that's awesome. Who got you saved? Not really. But I did ask. I was curious. I was like, hey, were you reached on another trip? Did someone, like, from a church come? Basically, I'm asking the PC way of being like, did some white guy show up and get you saved? Because, like, there's a lot of people that go to the Bahamas for mission trips with, like, Steadfast and things. And you know what he said? He was like, yeah, I was reached by Pastor Boyle's church, Revival Baptist Church. Now, look, I'm not flying the flag of Revival Baptist Church here today. I am not saying, like, that is just the best church ever. Look, I've got my differences with Revival Baptist Church. That's putting it mildly, okay? The pastors in the new IFB have their differences. If you want to know more, he's in the Preserved Bible. And that's actually what I told the guy. If you know, you know, okay? That's a funny reference if you get what I'm saying, because he is in the Preserved Bible, not for the reason you might think. So, but he's in the Preserved Bible, so I just, like, we kind of tell the guy, hey, that's awesome. You know what I didn't do? Oh, well, did you know what he said about so-and-so? And I'm of Pastor Shelley, and we're here on Pastor Shelley's mission trip. Pastor Shelley's better. It's just like, could I have said that? Yes. Would I have been right? Yes. But here's the thing. It's so carnal. It's silly. You know what I'm like? I'm like, that's awesome, man. Amen. That's cool. And then it was on a Wednesday, and that evening, or it was a Tuesday, and it was either the next day evening or it was a Wednesday morning that we ran into him. And that evening, some random church that we went to, because the first one that we were going to go to, they ended up not having a service or something because their pastor was in the U.S., so we found a different church. He was there, and he came up to me and Ben, and he was like, hey, you guys just really encouraged me. Just running into you guys encouraged me to come back to church. That's awesome. You know why? Because we should not let, and I don't want to let, and in that moment I did not let, some carnal difference break fellowship with this guy. It's a bad reason to break fellowship, these carnal differences. You know, a sub-point of this as well is who your friends are. You know, look, there are good reasons to break fellowship with, like, you being friends with someone, like, and they're a bad influence. Let's say that they're someone who's into drugs, into alcohol, they're very worldly. I mean, what if they're just not saved? I don't even necessarily want to park on the not saved point, though, because what I'm really talking about is striving to keep the unity in salvation. So let's just kind of delete that point. But look, you could have a saved brother that's, like, not really a faithful church member. like not reading their Bible as much as they should, who's not a good influence on you, who's kind of maybe dragging you down, or maybe this, a safe person, because the revolving door of the new IFB keeps swinging, folks, that leaves, and then they try to get you out. Now look, if someone leaves this church and they go to another good church, hey, amen, great, that's awesome. Go to whatever you think the best church is in the area for you and your family. I'm not against that. That's great. I think that this is it. That's why I'm here today. But like, someone leaves and then they're trying to get you out. Or let's say you have that saved family member that's like, well, you shouldn't be in the new IFB. I've got this, and I deal with it frequently. I have been told by a saved family member, I'll be here when they turn their back on you, and I'll be here with open arms to receive you. And I was just like, you're going to be waiting. Like, I mean, like, if the beans and the chili didn't do it, I'm just kidding. But it's just like, it's so silly that people, like, will divide over these things, these saved people. It's like, oh, I'm going to divide because you go to that church. Oh, really? What problems do you have with Anchor Baptist Church? Is it the King James Bible? Is it the soul winning program? Is it the old fashioned hymns? Is it that people are well dressed? Is it that we revere God and we love God? Nope. It's just because that's not where I would go. That's not for me. And I don't like it. Therefore, I don't want to have anything to do with you. It's a bad reason to break fellowship. Now, who your friends are, that's kind of what I'm getting at here with this point, is not separating from someone that's your friend that maybe is dragging you down. It's like, I'm looking at, you know, Brother Theodore, but Brother Theodore is friends with Dan, and I just don't like that guy. So now I'm not going to be Theodore's friend because you're friends with him. It's like, is this third grade recess? Because that's what it sounds like. Well, I can't be friends with you because you're friends with him, and then he texted this guy, and that guy was friends with this one guy one time. It's just like, I don't have the map. I'm like that meme trying to keep up with you guys where it's like all the like things on like the why. I'm like trying to find out. I'm not doing that with your friends. I'm friends with who I'm friends with because we have one faith, one hope, one baptism. And you know what? That does not mean that I or that you or that any of y'all are best friends with every person in this church, because there are little differences where we could be closer friends or maybe not as close friends, but we're all friendly, or you darn well should be, because we all have one faith, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father who's over all. And if you find yourself starting to think, well, I really like so-and-so, but they're friends with that person and I don't like that person, let me help you. You're carnal. You are carnal. You are the problem. Why does it matter? I don't care. I'm going to be friends. I have so many people that I'm friends with that are friends with other people that I think are retarded. And that's fine. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe we're both wrong. I don't know. But you know what? I don't want to say I've never, because it's like, be awesome as I am awesome. But I strive to not get into that mentality. You know what I do? I endeavor. Like Ephesians chapter 4 says, I endeavor. I try really, really hard. And it's not always going to be perfect, but you should not separate over these dumb, carnal differences. Turn to James chapter number 2. And I'm not reading that faith without works is dead here, folks. Although, you know what? The Bible's true when it says that. Being alone, okay, is what the Bible says. James chapter number 2. Here's another carnal difference. I kind of touched on this a little bit with the beard thing and the old IFB. But you know another carnal reason that people break fellowship, another bad reason to break fellowship, is people's appearance or their status in life. James chapter 2 verse 1, and I'm talking about like a financial status. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Now I want to pause. I love that all these verses that we look at, if you really think about Ephesians 4, I think this is cool. You might not. If you don't, we're not. I'm just kidding. But like, I think this is cool that it keeps bringing up kind of that point back in Ephesians 4. It's like the faith, the one faith, the one faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is how we're unified. Jesus Christ is the faith, one God and Father of all. Okay, James 2:1, my brethren, have not the faith of what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's bringing back, look, can you remember who you are? Can you remember that you're saved? Can you remember what unifies you? Why? Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Verse 2, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. It says in verse 4, are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of, notice this, evil thoughts? You know, sometimes people have evil judgments, evil thoughts that they judge people on. And this is kind of like that, And I'm not going so far as to say that the old IFB definitely has this, but this is where things like a beard, like judging or kind of like distancing from someone because they have a beard or something, like this is where that will lead you, is you start to kind of look at the, well, what does he look like? What does he have that gold ring? I don't have that gold ring, right? I got a tungsten ring because I'm a man. I'm just kidding. But it's just like, look, I don't have the gold ring. But if you have the gold ring, that's awesome. But you know what? I'm not going to start separating from people based on what rings they wear. That's gay, bro. And look, I'm not meaning it in the gay apparel, because if you come in with gay, like colloquially gay apparel, we're separating. But I'm just saying, like, if you come in looking nice, if you're well-dressed, hey, I'm going to be your friend. If you come in on a Wednesday night and you're wearing suspenders and a belt, pastor might make fun of you, Theodore. But that's okay, because we didn't separate from you, right? And look, that's a joke, but there are probably some churches that you'd go to where you show up, you get off work, you're running late, you come in, you're a little disheveled, and it's like, oh, brother, you got to sit in the back. You know, why don't you go? I don't want you to sit there. Theodore's like, I'm sitting in the front. Like, that's why I'm like, can you be on AV today? I'm just kidding. It's just like, look, it's so silly. And we can laugh about it, and I want to laugh about it, and I want it to be memorable, because I don't want to get in a place where we start cultivating this bad seed, this bad root. Because again, it doesn't come overnight. I mean, like, there have been all these researches, and I'll get into this in a minute as well, about race, which is another bad reason to break fellowship. But there are all these studies done with children about, like, how children grow up, like, with other kids that look different than them. Because I don't believe in the concept of race. There's one race. It's the human race. We're all of one blood in Christ Jesus. And there are these studies that have been done where, like, little kids that grow up, even people that, like, look totally different than them. You have, like, some albino, like, super pale white child. You have, like, me. And then you have, like, a black kid. They don't, it's not even something that enters into their mind. They just get along. Okay, you're not born with this. It kind of cultivates over time, where you start separating from people based on, like, their appearance, or maybe how they sound, or how they talk, or they're not as polished as you, or they have a beard, or, well, he doesn't wear a shirt and tie, he just wears a polo. Or then it's like, well, he's not even wearing a polo, he's wearing, like, a, you know, I don't even know, what, some t-shirt or something to church. It's like, do we care? No. Like, look, here's why I dress nice at church. Because it's God's house, and I want to put my best foot forward in God's house. That's my conscience. That's my standard. But if you go to the Bible, like, they're not going to be showing up to these services in a shirt and tie. You're not going to find a Bible verse that says, thou shalt wear a shirt and tie. Thou shalt wear a suit jacket. And there are different cultures around the world where this looks different. Their services look different than ours, and we're no more right with God than they are if they've got the one faith, one hope, one baptism, one Lord, one God and Father over all. It's just a little bit different. Like, look, I guarantee you, if we went to some service in Africa, their garb looks a lot different. Here's actually a great example. In the Philippines, I bet Brother Theodore, if Brother Eric's there right now, Brother Zach is there right now, they have a different formal garb in the Philippines. So frequently you will see them wearing a different attire for very formal than us here. Now look, if you showed up here and you were wearing that, it might draw, like, it might be kind of like, well, hey, kind of what is that? Like, what's going on? But we shouldn't separate from that. It's just a carnal difference. We should not be ready to break fellowship over these things. But I know there are churches out there where it's like, hey, you're not looking so hot. You're not looking so fly. You better get to the back. You better sit in the back. And speaking of sitting in the back of the bus, what about race? Because you know what? This is something that there are churches, many of you are trying not to laugh. It's okay, you can laugh. That was meant to be a funny comment. But look, there are churches in Oklahoma City today that will break fellowship with you on race. And let me tell you, they're Baptist churches on both sides of the aisle. Now, it's funny, this morning, in doing a little bit more research for this, I looked up, I just thought, hey, Black Church, Oklahoma City. That's a good Google search. That'll be great in my search history. All Black Church, Oklahoma City. And here's what's funny. There's just a website called blackchurches.org, and they have a subdirectory for Oklahoma City. So I click on it, Control F, Baptist. There are 7 just in the Oklahoma City metro. This, like, curated website. You can look online and find, like, an all-black church. And they're, like, proud of that. And I have not done this, but I've heard that you can call these churches, like, hey, would I be welcome there? And it's kind of like, you might want to try this church. You might want to try, this is a black church. You might want to go somewhere else. But these are churches that are like Baptist. Now, many times, like four of the seven are like missionary Baptist. But then there's like Bethel Baptist. Imagine you're visiting an area and you're just driving. You're like, I got to find a church for me and my wife to go to. Oh, Baptist church. And you go in and you're me and it's like an all black church. Now, here's what's really funny. I actually grew up, my very young years, my parents were the only white family in an all black church. So I can probably pull it off. I've got a pass. You might not, but I'm just saying, like, you show up, and then they're like, oh, well, hey, this is an all-black church. Oh, what's the difference? Can someone show me the difference where the white and the black churches are here? Can you show me the color churches in the Bible? Can you show me where they pulled out the color chart and were like, yeah, go to that church? No, you can't. It's a carnal difference. It's flesh. It's carnality. But you know what? It happens. Now, as a quick test, I also was like, well, what happens if I Google all white church, Oklahoma City? And then it's like, literally the only result is like, this church has been painted all white. It's like not talking about the people in it. Like the only thing you can find is like an all white church. Could you imagine what would happen if there was a website? Like if I made a website called like White Churches, OKC, it's just like, I would get fired. they would dox me hard. But it's okay the other way around. Now look, I'm not saying that all white churches don't exist, because I've talked to someone before that is like saved that has said that they grew up in a church that was like that, where like they didn't have that view, but the pastor, like a black family showed up to their church. They were all white. And like the pastor approached them and was like, hey, this is really not the church for you guys. Look, that's wicked. That's carnal. And again, it's a bad reason to break fellowship. Why are we breaking fellowship over something that someone cannot change? Do you think Paul was the same color as everyone he went and ministered to around like all the greater parts of like Asia and the Middle East? He's just like, oh, I've got to find the church that looks like me. You know what this is? This is a Pharisaical view of like, well, you don't look like me. You're not from my stock. This is carnal, you know? Beard, clean shaven, shirt and tie versus polo. You know, how about dress shoes or sneakers? I've literally been called before by a hater that left a church once a, quote, sneaker-wearing nerd, along with, at the time, Pastor Oz and Brother Ben, because we preach in sneakers. And you know what? I got the Skechers on today, bro. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Now, here's the thing. Are we really going to be like, well, you're not wearing dress shoes? So, look, that's what this guy had a problem with. He literally brought it up in a text chat that I was part of why he's like leaving. You guys are a bunch of sneaker wearing nerds. I'm like, none of that I really took offense to, because it's kind of true, but I'm just like, what does that matter? I do wear sneakers. They're very comfortable. They're the ones that you can stand to put on. I don't have to tie them either. So like, take that. Or, well, you don't tie your shoes. You just slip them on. Well, you have dress shoes. And you wear flip-flops to church. Now look, if there's anything I'm going to separate from someone on, you start wearing flip-flops to church, I'm kind of like, whoa, that's weird. But you know what? I know people that do it. I know people. You probably know people that do it too. And I'm just like, hey, who am I to judge another man's servant? Whether you wear the flip-flop, you wear it for the Lord. If you don't, you don't unto the Lord. It's so silly. Full Windsor versus half Windsor. I've been approached by someone here that's like, hey, if you're not wearing a full Windsor, are you really right with God? You know? And I'm just like, yes. Like, I don't know what to tell you aside from that. That's kind of a silly example, but look, these little things, they creep in. Why? People want to have that divide. They want to draw some difference. You know, for sake of time, we're going to move on. You know, I have this list of black churches, your race, that's a wrong thing. Turn, if you would, to 3 John. 3 John. To finish up this second point, here's another one that you've heard out soul winning. Church size. Man, you want to talk about a bad reason to break fellowship? How big is your church? I mean, who's been soul winning and heard them say, hey, how big is your church? Yeah, well, that's a lot less hands than I thought, but I know you have. I have. You have. People are like, how big is that? Do you guys have a lot of people? It's just like, no one, but like, why do you care? Well, I just don't really do big churches. It's like, do you do sound doctrine? Like, what if our church was big? Like, imagine the doctrine's right. The music is right. Everything is done correctly. Everything's being done decently and in order. But it's a little too big for me. I mean, like, are we real right now? Like, are you serious? And the answer is yes, unfortunately. People are serious. They will separate on these carnal differences. You know what? Carnal differences, these little discrepancies, that's a bad reason to break fellowship. Now, here's my third and final point this morning. We'll look at 3 John. We'll just start reading in verse number 9. me get there myself. 3 John verse 9 says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Here's my third and final bad reason to break fellowship this morning, and this is not an all-inclusive list. These are just the big ones that I could think of. Here's this reason, pride. Pride is a bad reason to break fellowship. But let me let you in on a secret. Pride is the reason why you're going to have secondary doctrinal differences that you separate from. So really, this incorporates point number one. Pride is the reason that you're going to have carnal differences that are non-doctrinal that you separate on. Why? Because you're prideful. You are prideful. Diotrephes, in 3 John 9, it says that John, the Apostle John, he's writing under this church, but Diotrephes, you got this guy who wants to be the bee's knees. He wants to be the top of the top, the creme de la creme. He wants to be the preeminent. And you know who's the preeminent one of Anchor Baptist Church? It's Jesus Christ. He must increase, we must decrease. But Diotrephes' mindset says, no. It's got to be about me. Remember earlier when I brought up Joe Jones, who would not receive brethren, who did not want to receive brethren visiting a church when a guest preacher was present? That's the spirit of Diotrephes. Because look what it says in the end of verse 9, it says, receiveth us not. Look at verse 10. And not content therewith, the latter portion, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. Again, one faith, one Lord, one God and Father over all. We're talking about saved people. It's not like Diotrephes is like, hey, they're not saved, I don't want them in here. It's like, oh, they're saved? I'm just not preeminent among them. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Why? He wants to be the popular preacher. Diotrephes wants to be who you listen to every day. Diotrephes wants you to listen to his sermons more than anyone else. Diotrephes wants you to come to their church only and never go to another church. You know, I don't see old IFB or other Baptists here in Oklahoma City coming to our events when we have an event that's free. But you know what I do see is us going to theirs on a Friday night to support them. Why? Because we're endeavoring to keep the unity. And we should always keep that spirit of endeavoring to keep the unity. You know what? Don't be a Diotrephes, you know? Don't be a Bo Ballard. And you know what? I'm going to name a name today, Bo Ballard. And look, I hate this. It's like, well, you're going to name names and people don't know who you're talking about. You know what? I don't know who Alexander the Coppersmith is, but he did Paul much evil. And the Lord rewarded him according to his works because Paul brought him up. I don't know who all these lists of names are in Romans 16, but Paul brought him up. And now I know, and they're a byword. And I couldn't tell you everything about their history, but I know who they are. And you know what? I don't know who Diotrephes is, but I know he's prideful. I know he's wicked. I know he was forbidding the brethren. Let me tell you about Bo Ballard, this wicked false prophet who believes in work salvation of his own mouth, has said you have to repent of your kingpin sin. He was the boots on the ground when this church started back under Donnie Romero, then Pastor Romero, now Donnie Romero, right? Just knew how to pick him, I guess, right? Puts Bo Ballard, with my understanding, is meeting him like virtually very little. I think he maybe met him once. You can double check me on that. I'm not certain, but I think they had met like one time, maybe. Puts him in leadership, and you want to talk about a Diotrephes spirit, it's Bo Ballard. He would sit on this front row. I called him front row Bo. He would sit there on the front row. We would have pastors come and guest preach, and when they would get done with their sermons, he would go up with notes, and he'd say, hey, good preaching, but I just got a few notes, things that I disagree with. Pastors! I'm not saying he would do that to me or Brother John or other men that preach at the time, which he would, by the way. He would do this also to pastors. Why? Because he wants to be the preeminent one. He wanted to be seen like he was important, like he was special, he was prideful. And you know what? There can be saved people like that at the time. And for a long time, I thought this guy was saved and just like off a little bit. And you know what I did? I gave him grace. To the chagrin of my wife, who was like, this guy is wicked. My wife is always like right on her like gut reaction. I'm wrong. Because I'm like, no, honey. And I was like, hey, don't talk about him like that. You don't know. We should give him grace. We should be long-suffering. We should what? Endeavor to keep the unity. That was my mentality. And look, sometimes we're going to endeavor to keep the unity with people that end up not really being a real one, if you will. But sometimes I would rather, you know, like mess up and mistakenly have too much grace than mess up and have no grace. Okay? We should still endeavor to keep the unity. I say all that to say what? Pride is a bad reason to break fellowship. And this guy ended up leaving. He's preached of his own mouth. You have to repent of your kingpin sin to go to heaven. He said in a sermon, quote, "I wouldn't tell you that you need to repent of your sins to be saved, but Jesus would," end quote. Which I'm just thinking like, all right, wait. I wouldn't tell you you need to repent of your sins to be saved. Okay, but Jesus would. First of all, no, he wouldn't, one. Two, if Jesus would tell you to repent of your sins to be saved, why wouldn't you? Like, this guy is double-minded and unstable. He's a false prophet. But you know what? He's prideful. He wanted to break fellowship. Of course, he, like, left. He recently posted something online where he's like, "The Spirit of God's not within 1,000 miles of a new IFB church." And I just wanted to comment. I'm like, bro, you still live in Oklahoma City Metro. That means the Spirit of God's not near you. Like, think about what you're saying before you say it. Now, the Spirit of God's not near him, right? It's just crazy. But you know what? There are saved people that separate based on pride. You know, I'm going to bring someone up. How about Roger Jimenez? You know, Roger Jimenez, ex-pastor Jimenez, I would not have spoken against him as a pastor, rebuke not an elder. That would not be appropriate. But you know what? I personally believe it was a spirit of pride that caused him to start to separate, that caused him to bring up these minor differences. He brought up one time in a sermon how music standards are changing in the new IFB. Can someone explain to me how the music standard changed? Here's what he means. There's a channel that people listen to called New IFB Parody Music that makes AI parody music outside of church for you to listen to when you're outside of church, and you're wanting to separate over things like that. Look, it's carnal. It's a bad reason to break fellowship. What are some other prideful reasons to break fellowship? Hey, maybe someone's doing more work than you are for the Lord. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Oh, I'm going to separate from so-and-so because they're getting more work done for the Lord. Hey, let me let you in on a secret. Virtually every person that separated from Pastor Anderson, Diotrephes spirit. Why? He's getting more work done and they're prideful and they want the preeminence. And look, maybe I'm wrong on some edge cases. I don't know, but I'm telling you, I believe the Bible, and I believe when people start not receiving brethren, and they don't want to know that you're listening to Pastor Anderson, they don't want you to know that you're listening to Pastor Shelley, they're prideful. They don't want you to do these because they want to be preeminent. They don't like you because you're achieving more. They don't like these other pastors because these other pastors are achieving more for the Lord than they are, and it makes them feel some type of way. And rather than get behind the man of God, which is a biblical term that we should use, they're going to separate from him. They're going to be prideful. You're Saul. That's who you are. You're Saul, and you're mad about David doing more than you. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. "And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul." Look, these people are excited for Saul. They're excited for the things that Saul's doing. Shouldn't Saul be happy with tabrets, and the end of verse 6, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music? "And the women answered one another as they played. It said, Saul hath slain his thousands." Yeah, Saul, you got 1,000 people saved, man. That's awesome. You're doing great. And then look at the end of the verse. "And David is 10,000s. Wouldn't that be a good song if, like, someone's singing about, like, me and, like, Brother Eric or something? And it's like, "Hey, Cameron, you got, like, 50 people saved in Oklahoma City this month. Eric, you got, like, 20,000. I mean, like, he's in the Philippines. He's killing it over there. He broke our churches, like, year to date in one day in the Philippines. He's doing a great work." Imagine if we're like, "Wow, just stay." It's like, "I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Friendship ended," you know. It's just like, it's crazy. Verse 8, what am I talking about? Verse 8, so Saul slays his thousands, David his 10,000s. Verse 8, "And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom?" Dude, you're a whiny baby. That's what Saul's like. "They're only thinking about my thousands." It's like, well, didn't you only get thousands? The answer is probably yes. Shouldn't you still be excited for the great work that was done through you? The answer should be yes. And you know what I don't see? I don't see David going like, hey, you should step it up, bro. I got that 10,000. I just see Saul not being attacked, being praised for the works that he's doing, but not able to take second fiddle, is he? He's just not, he can't contain it. You know why? Saul was not endeavoring to keep the unity. Saul was looking for that difference. Saul wanted a bad reason to break fellowship. And boy, did he. Boy, it was rent. Fellowship was broken. It was rent from Saul. He was thinking, I'm going to break fellowship. Well, guess what, buddy? You might just look for such a way to separate yourself from others, and then God's going to make it clear your wickedness will be shown before the whole congregation. You need to be careful. Verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. You know, I just keep thinking about the guy that we ran into out soul winning. Like, he's saved. He was excited. He was happy that we were getting people saved. And then in the moment, there was some random secondary thing to separate on. It's like he was eyeing Dan and I from that moment forward. But it happens. And you read the story and you're like, what in the world? What would come over someone? Is it because he's not saved? No, he's saved. Saul's saved. Saul's a man of God. He was chosen. He was the anointed one. Like, he was chosen, meaning he was chosen by God for that purpose. And he screwed it up. He, of his own decisions, fell short. Could happen to any one of us. You know, don't be mad because someone's achieving more than you. That's prideful. Pride is a bad reason to break fellowship. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll end this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4. You know, Psalm 133 verse 1 says this, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When God looks down, he wants us to be unified. Here's not what that means. Unified with the world, unified with the atheist, unified with the agnostic, unified with the Catholic Church. That's not what it says. Psalm 133:1 says, it's pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. You know what? All of us in here, it's not saying we need to just be homogenized and we all have the like exact same belief and exact same thing that we wear every day. The ladies do that accidentally on their own. They just like show up in the same dress. And that'll cause some division too. Like, I can't believe you're wearing the dress. Like, hey, it was random. Like, chill out. Like, you're fine. Carnal. But we should be homogenized, and we are in what sense? And homogenized just means like the same, right? In what way? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, and we should be unified. We should be one in charity, in doctrine, meaning that we should hold to the same things. We're all going to have our unique quirks and differences, and that's fine. You do not have to be best friends with every person in here, but you should be unified. You should endeavor to keep that unity. And you know what? Much less just this church, every saved church. You should be unified with those brethren too. And it's so nice to go somewhere. I'm really excited about this Listener's Pick Marathon because I'm excited to go somewhere where I know nobody. And you know what? It's going to be unified because we have the same faith. We have the same doctrine. We have the same baptism. Just like going to the Bahamas, going to some church where I've never been, in a country I've never been, and like, man, I got some unity with these people here. We're a little different. They're a little different. Their driving is a lot different. But I adapted. I was unified with their driving after about a day. I was like, let's go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. What's the conclusion? We should endeavor to keep unity. Why? Because there are bad reasons to break fellowship. And it could happen to any one of us that could creep in. We could find ourselves thinking that. We should not do that. What should we do then? Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Hey, why am I preaching the sermon? I'm pleading with you. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Please. Dwell together in unity. Like Psalm 133:1 said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know what long suffering is? It's been said multiple times. It's described in the word suffering a long time. It's not just putting up with someone till they make you mad, because then you didn't put up with anything. Long suffering is when you're suffering being around someone for a long time, and that's a Christian attribute. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what? Let's endeavor to keep the unity as we leave here this morning. Let's not get sucked into these bad reasons to break fellowship. Let's end in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for the opportunity to preach. I pray that you would just give us that spirit of unity, that spirit of peace. I pray that you would just fill us with a desire to be a unified church, that we could come together to do greater and greater works for you. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for our last hymn this morning, if you'll grab your hymnals, Turn to number 161.
Thank you.